Perfect. All right.
Numbers are moving. I assume it's recording.
Is it?
It is recording.
Okay,
it's
coming. Kind of...
Okay. Now, I'm going to try something different, Monica, because my pre-recorded intro, I didn't think it was any good.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to do a live read of the introduction. Very exciting.
You second guessed?
I second guessed. Yeah, I just read it and I didn't like it.
Okay.
And so while I was waiting for you guys to finish synced before, I just rewrote it.
Oh, wow. Just now.
Just now.
Hot off the presses.
So it's not, it's still not great.
Okay.
But if you let me know if it holds up.
Great.
And if it holds up, let's just put this in the episode.
I love it. Okay. I'm going to close my eyes.
A lot of pressure. Okay. I'm David, we've heard this before. I'm David Farrier, a New Zealander accidentally marooned in America, and I want to figure out what makes this country tick. I crossed out a whole lot of things and the new one begins. As I explained in an earlier episode, I had to come back to New Zealand late last year because of my 3-year work visa running out. Now, to get a new American work visa, I had to fill in a lot of forms and pay a lot of money to some lawyers. The final piece of the puzzle was that I had to leave America and attend an interview at a US embassy somewhere abroad. America, being the helpful country that it is, wouldn't let me take a road trip to Canada or one down to Mexico. To prove my dedication to America, I'd have to fly away from America to an embassy that wasn't in a country or a place nestled up against the American border. So I decided I was going to make a big trip on a plane, so I might as well fly all the way back to my country of origin, New Zealand. How are we going so far?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Just trying to set up while I was in New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
Because I think it is kind of funny that I can't just go to Canada to like go to an embassy. I've got to like, America makes you really leave.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They put you through your paces.
They do.
Right, so I went back to New Zealand. I was there waiting for my new visa to be issued for about a month, so I decided I should record a few episodes of Flight of the Spirit about being stuck in New Zealand. Mm. And this is a line I feel really excited about.
Oh,
are you ready?
Yeah.
So, welcome to a New Zealand episode of Flightless Bird, which saw this flightless bird grounded in the land of flightless birds. Get it? Because I'm the flightless bird usually in America because I can't leave America, but now I'm in New Zealand, which is where all the flightless birds... Look, you should have seen the old one. It was worse. All right, theme song.
Flightless, flightless, flightless bird touchdown in America. I'm a flightless bird touchdown in America.
Hi, Monica. I'm back in America.
You're back in America.
How's everything going?
Everything's good, but yeah. I wanted to address something because
this doesn't bode well.
No, this is not a problem.
Okay.
For you.
That's where I go straight away.
I know.
Problem.
I know.
Panic.
So you went back to for your visa.
I did.
I currently am trying to get a travel visa.
Oh, incredible.
And it is so complicated.
What part of the world are you going to?
The subcontinent.
Okay.
I had to ask my mom and dad so many questions today that I didn't know the answers.
Like your parents' date of birth stuff like that?
I know their dates of birth.
Oh, I know. That's always a mystery to me.
I
always forget.
I always have to do math to figure it out. But the exact cities they were born. Mm-hmm. Another important question was, have I ever been there before? Which I have. Mm-hmm. And when I went, what were the addresses of the places I stayed and the cities, all the cities I visited, and the visa number from then. And it was 1992. We don't have any of that information.
It doesn't exist.
Yes.
But did you do it on the fly? Did you wing a few things or did you just get as close as possible?
I just labeled the cities and I said, no visa number. I
mean, it's the deepest dive into your own life you can ever have.
But who's going to keep that information?
And who's also, I'm wondering how closely they check, because with the American visa, it wants to know my last 5 or 10 trips in and out, dates and everything.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't have that. And so you're trawling through emails for different flights you've taken and arrival times and my terribly organized diary. Oh, the interesting thing about America is they want to know all your social media handles.
No.
Which is, and I just picture this, if anyone is actually doing some kind of a search on there to see if you're saying disparaging things about America, are they looking at your political leanings? Are they making sure that you're not
a terrorist or something?
Yes, yeah, so I'm listing Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I've got a TikTok I never use. And I'm just wondering, is any poor person in the immigration department having to go through my social media and like read what I've
Oh my God.
And what's the red flag? When do they send me off to another department to go, we're not sure about this David guy?
Yes. Oh, this is so fascinating.
Do they listen to Flightless Bird episodes and see how American I am? Does that factor in? Or is it all just to make you a bit on edge and make you sort of go, do I really want to do this?
Oh, this is a great question. I wish we could talk to someone who works in that department.
So I want to do an episode about immigration because there's an interesting thing where I met a few people in New Zealand who are Americans who moved there to New Zealand. They were just like, I want to try something different. Mm-hmm. And then a few of them have renounced their U.S. citizenship. You know how we've talked about the ceremony of me becoming a citizen one day? The whole thing about getting rid of your citizenship, it's such a highly charged, really full-on moment. And I was talking to someone in New Zealand who'd done this, and they just talked about what they weren't expecting. They were really upset at the ceremony because everything you were sort of drilled into as an American is what a privilege this is. And so they realized giving it up, it triggered something like deep inside. They were just doing it for like a practical reason. Like they live in New Zealand now, they're not coming back to America, all the rest of it. But they had this really emotional response.
I don't think I could do it. Which feels crazy.
And no, for the same reason that I talk about how difficult it would be for me to give up New Zealand citizenship and like pledge to another country. There is this thing about wherever you're brought up, you end up feeling this deep loyalty to the place.
But more than loyalty, there is a gratitude for the place, I think, that is underneath all of it. And then it feels like cheating. It feels like you cheated on your monogamous partner.
Yeah, and it's the place that made you you, right? Yeah. So you're like, this defines me.
Who
and
am
now
I?
I'm just turning my back to this place. And so, yeah, after some of these conversations I've had, I just thought this could be an interesting question. And as well of people immigrating to America and becoming citizens. And then I like the idea of the reverse thing. Another interesting thing about America is that once you become a citizen, so I'm on a visa, right?
Yeah.
Next step would be a green card.
Right.
Next step would be citizenship.
Yeah.
Once you've got citizenship, if I left and went back to New Zealand, for the rest of my life, I would be filing taxes in America. And there's only two countries that do that. I can't remember the name of the other country. Basically, say I go back to New Zealand and get a job in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with America.
Right.
Because I'm an American citizen. For the rest of my life, I have to file taxes in America.
Based on what you've earned in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Oh.
I could have nothing. I could never return here. I could like have a huge falling out with you guys, be like, I don't want to do this podcast anymore.
Oh, I hope that doesn't happen.
It's not going to happen. Go back to New Zealand and I go and work in an office in New Zealand.
Okay.
Have to file US taxes, pay taxes to America, fund America with my taxes for the rest of my life.
Wow. If you became a citizen here and then you moved back to, and then we had a big falling out, you said, don't want to do this podcast anymore. And then you moved back to New Zealand. Can you renounce the American citizenship?
Yes, I can. But when I do that, I would not be allowed to say it's for tax reasons. That's like a no-no. So I'd have to be like, oh no, it's nothing to do with tax.
They make you say why?
I want to find out.
Yeah.
I want to talk to someone that's been through the process and see what the situation is because I'm so curious.
This. Remember we called my dad, but he didn't have much information?
No, he didn't have a lot.
Couldn't remember much. But also on this travel visa form, I had to fill out about them, their place of birth and their nationality and their and if they ever had a previous nationality. And for both of them, it's true. They're both American citizens, but were originally born in India.
When do you find out whether you're given a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I'm not so sure.
You're just waiting.
I'm just waiting.
It's all out of your hands.
Yeah.
It's whether they deem you worthy or not to
enter. We'll probably be back by then, by the time this airs. And Dax is doing this too. He's doing this process too. And I kept thinking today when we were getting these questions, it's so much easier for him.
Yeah.
He just says, no, no, yes.
There's no complications.
Yeah.
It's just America, America.
America,
it's all
America.
America.
Yes,
here
yes.
I am.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had been a bit busy and made me fill in the forms on your behalf.
God,
I'd be like, oh, she came here as a wee baby. She'd give you an entirely different narrative. Yeah, it's so good you didn't. You got to fill those forms in yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Well, good luck.
Thanks. Let's hope I get there.
Do you have any questions about New Zealand?
No, but I'm really excited to hear about
okay,
your
adventure. So I haven't even said what the topic is. Okay, let's just, I'll play you my little documentary. It's very specific about a very specific thing.
Okay.
But sometimes I think we've got to be specific in this life, you know?
Agreed.
Sometimes you don't know what you're missing from home until you return. It all kind of floods back at once. And in New Zealand, it's things like all the green you see out the plane window, the fresh air that hits you when you leave the airport, and the sight of certain trees and animals. But for me, the main thing I'd forgotten I'd been missing this whole time, the taste and smell of my favorite fruit, the feijoa.
Oh, hi, I'm Georgia.
Georgia is just one of 5 million New Zealanders who love the feijoa.
I understand you're a fan of the feijoa.
Oh, I was about to swear. Can
you
I swear?
Can swear.
Oh, okay. I fucking love a feijoa. I love a feijoa so much. So much. It's just part of the culture. You walk down the street and there's a tree on the side of the road and you just huck some feijoas in your bag. And
is then, that word that you just said? Huck.
Huck. Like throw? Huck. I don't know.
It's really good. I'm a New Zealander and I haven't heard that word before. It's really good.
Huck's a good word. You can put it into your vocab.
What is it about the feijoa that's so good? Because I feel like Americans, they don't know what they're missing.
It's like a soury sweet in its own package. You don't even need to like put it in anything. You can just huck it off a tree, open it, eat it. It's so good.
Simply put, feijoas are the best fruit, referred to by some New Zealanders as green gold. They're green and about the size of the egg I once cracked on Rosabelle's head. Using words to describe the taste of a feijoa is doing the fruit a disservice. To understand the ecstasy of a feijoa, you've got to use your taste buds. Some say the flavor has hints of guava, or strawberry, or pineapple. It has the softness of an avocado with the soft, gritty texture of a pear.
In a typical year, in a typical feijoa season, how many feijoas would you throw back?
Honestly, if I can get a good access to feijoas, I would do 20 a day in like a sitting. Because all you do is just cut them up. And then my secret hack is if you eat one half that is delicious, I'll put the other half aside so I can make sure I finish on a good feijoa. Because some of them will be duds.
20 a day?
I would say easily, yeah.
So in your lifetime, we're talking thousands of feijoas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like many New Zealanders, Georgia's appreciation of the feijoa started in her youth.
My neighbours where I grew up had a feijoa tree and I used to go on night raids. So like they told us that we could come and pick feijoas off their tree, but I was always too embarrassed to do it during the day. So I would go in the dark of night. And then as I got older, when I met my fiance, I would make him come with me to go on night raids to get feijoas off the tree.
So romantic.
Yeah, yeah. Start of a great relationship.
I mean, it was. Georgia and her fiance now own a dog and are getting married later this year. Now, when in America, I find myself browsing the fruit aisles of countless American grocery stores, desperately seeking a glimpse of my favorite green fruit. But I always fail, sinking into a deep depression. But now I'm back in New Zealand, I can embrace the feijoa. And in this country, we're not just eating feijoas, we're putting feijoas in everything else. We put it in our chocolate, smoothies, ice cream, wine, champagne, and in our beer. It's become near impossible not to eat feijoa, as they just put feijoas in every other food and drink. And so I've driven about an hour north of Auckland City to the dreamy town of Matakana, because here they brew an award-winning feijoa beer.
This is a wild feijoa, and the vintage is 2022, and it's the best beer in New Zealand currently.
Just as an aside, the transcription software I use to make Flightless Bird can't understand the New Zealand accent. So when Sean said,
"This is a wild feijoa,"
the transcript read, "This is a wild vagina." Anyway, I'm at the bar talking to Sean from the 8 Wired Brewery. The name of the brewery is a very New Zealand thing. Number 8 wire is a common type of wire farmers use for their fences here. Farming's big in New Zealand. Yeah, that includes sheep. And number 8 wire is everywhere. And because it's so versatile, it ends up being used on things besides fences. You might wind some number 8 wire around something to hold it in place. So number 8 wire came to mean problem solving. So if Dax was in New Zealand, people might look at him fixing a car in an inventive way and say, "Wow, look at Dax. He has a number 8 wire mentality." My point is, that's what the brewery is referencing by calling itself 8 Wired.
You say the best beer. What makes it the best beer? Has it won an award? Is this your personal opinion?
Won that big trophy down the end there, that big wooden block. It won that, and that is the champion beer, which is the highest award for the beers at the Guild Awards.
Sean pours me a pint of Fijoa beer, and I take a chug. And because it's a hot summer's day in New Zealand, and because this beer tastes like Fijoas, well, this drink is heaven.
You basically brew a pale ale beer, then you stick it into barrels for a couple of years, and then you mix a metric ton of Fijoas, gets mixed with that, and then you sit that for about another year, and then it gets packaged up. When it's a fresh vintage, it smacks more of the Fijoas, and then the older it gets, the more of the barrel age funk comes out. So if you were to taste one of those 2014 vintages, it'll be really funky from the barrel.
I take my delicious beer outside because I'm not just here to drink beer, I'm here to meet someone.
My name's Kate Evans. I'm a freelance journalist in New Zealand. I mainly write for New Zealand Geographic magazine, but I also write for some American publications like Scientific American and Biographic.
More importantly for this episode, Kate has also recently written a book about Fijoas. It's called Fijoas, a story of obsession and belonging. And from what I can tell, it's the first in-depth book focusing on the best fruit on the planet. I wanted to learn from Kate how this fruit became so synonymous with New Zealand, as synonymous as sheep and flightless kiwi birds and number eight wires. It's my suspicion that part of the appeal of the Fijoa is that there are so many Fijoa trees everywhere here, just growing in backyards and on sidewalks. And so at the right time of the year, Fijoas are free.
I grew up about 15 minutes from where we are now in a very small town of about 500 people called Lee. My dad had a Fijoa hedge and one big beautiful specimen Fijoa, and my sisters and I would walk home from school every day, and in the autumn, which was Fijoa season, the beginning of the school year for us, the ground would be covered in Fijoas. And
heaven.
So good. And we just get home from school, chuck off our school bags and sit under the tree with a spoon and a knife, cut them open and then spoon them out and eat them.
Can you just describe this? Because if you haven't had this experience of this, just Fijoas en masse falling from the sky and you just devour them when you're a kid, what sets it apart from other fruit? Because there is something very fucking special about a Fijoa.
Right. Well, one thing is the crazy abundance. There's nothing for 9 months of the year, and then there's just shit tons of them for 2 or 3 months. Yeah. And you can never keep up. They're always just rotting in the grass. Yeah. But the day that they first fall in, they're amazing. One of the amazing things about them is the smell. So they're very fragrant, and the smell is not like any other fruit. And in the book, I ended up talking to scent neuroscientists talking about how things that are really strongly flavoured, especially things that we encounter when we're children, the scent centre of the brain is really close to the memory centre of the brain, and smell can trigger memories in the way that few other senses can. And so when you cut open a Fijoa and it has that really distinctive smell, and you haven't smelt it for like 9 months of the year, or years if you've lived overseas,
you're transported back to being a kid in the best time of the year.
Yeah, this kind of like beautiful relaxing thing of being in the garden or in the sidewalks in the suburbs.
Kate's done some digging into the Fijoa situation in the US and tells me that you can sometimes find them there in farmers markets. But in America, they're called pineapple guava, which makes sense because they do sort of taste a bit like those fruits. Pineapple guavas, were brought to California in 1901 by an Italian gardener who had gotten some seeds in from France, immediately caught the eye of a man in Santa Barbara.
And this guy, Francesco Franceschi in Santa Barbara, was like, this is going to be the fruit of the century. And he was passionate about Fijoas, and him and a couple of other guys who were kind of involved in bringing the avocado to California as well, which obviously was a lot more successful. Yeah. They were really trying to promote the Fijoa.
For a while, things were looking good for the tiny green fruit. Back in 1914, an American newspaper proclaimed the Fijoa a wonder fruit that will soon be one of the most popular sugar fruits in the United States. Ad said it was the most popular new fruit since the avocado. And by 1915, seeds were selling for $6 a gram, which by today's standards is about $150. Unfortunately, after a promising start, the Fijoa ultimately tanked in the US. The fruit doesn't store very well and can go off quicker than an avocado. They're also really variable from seed to seed, so the quality of trees varies a lot.
So you have to graft it or clone it in some way, and they're not that easy to do that.
Some Fijoa trees refuse to grow Fijoas at all. By the 1930s, the LA Times had taken to calling the Fijoa a desirable hedge plant. This description is sacrilege to a New Zealander. Kate tells me that despite the ultimate failure of the Feijoa in America, she's located a few stray trees around San Francisco and Sacramento and other bits of California.
I met some crazy Feijoa fiends in Red Bluff, California, in the middle of nowhere. They would trawl the streets of Sacramento looking for street trees and them in people's gardens, and they'd knock on people's doors and be like, excuse me, can we clean up the mess for you? And then they'd come and get all the Feijoas.
New Zealand has also tried to get other Feijoa products into America, but unsuccessfully. It's like the fruit was cursed by the founding fathers. 42 Below is a big vodka brand here in New Zealand, and they launched a bunch of their vodka in America. Every flavour a success, except the Feijoa flavour. Apparently, when they ran their Feijoa vodka past the FDA said no because the Feijoa doesn't exist. It seems the Feijoa's fate has been well and truly sealed in the US. It's clear I'll have to use as much of my time in New Zealand as possible, guzzling as many Feijoas as I can. Stay tuned for more Flightless Bird. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Support for Flightless Bird comes from AG1. Now, taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why, for the last couple of years, I've been drinking AG1. It's just one scoop, mixed in water, once a day, every day, and it makes me feel much more energized and just ready for the very busy day I've got ahead. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. Now, in the morning, I've basically got this routine where I'll go for like a big walk to limber up and get a bit of exercise in my life. And then instead of getting home and slamming back a coffee, I slam back an AG1. I just get a scoop, put it in water, mix it up, and it's actually really delicious. And instead of being left feeling buzzed and a bit stressed, I just feel energized in a really healthy way. And that's because with AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from whole foods. Whole foods that I probably don't eat enough of in the wild, so I know I'm getting it in AG1. I like to think of it as nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the very start of my day. And just in general, it's helped me with my work, it's helped me stay focused and clear, and it's just given me some routine in my day. And if you start your day right, make the bed, go for a walk, have the AG1, I think just mentally it sets you up for a really good day ahead. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I partnered with them for so long now. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/flightless. That's drinkag1.com/flightless. Check it out. Support for Flightless Bird comes from Aura Frames. Now, I've got a very simple but very, very good gift idea for that somebody that you love a lot, but who also happens to live very, very far away from you. It's a digital picture frame from Aura. You probably saw that coming. It's the perfect way to share photos with someone in this really personal way because you're sharing them to a photo frame that's physically sitting in your parents' lounge or maybe on your friend's coffee table. I actually gave one of these things to Rob. It sits in his home office, and I update it with various photos of myself doing funny faces. My buddy Rose got one, and she isn't in LA all that often, and it's a great way to update her on my life. The frames come with unlimited storage and simple controls, so you can upload as many photos as you want. Get one and see why it was named the number one digital frame by Wirecutter, The Strategist, and Wired. And right now, you can save on the perfect gift that keeps on giving by visiting AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, listeners can get $20 off their best-selling frame with the code BIRD. That's auraframes.com, promo code BIRD. Terms and conditions apply. And I did guzzle quite you a few features.
What size are they?
They're like an egg. Oh. They're egg-shaped. Yeah, so they're about
they
an egg.
Are they egg-sized?
Egg-sized. Egg-sized, egg-shaped.
Like a kiwi.
They're like a kiwi.
Oh,
yeah, they're exactly, yeah, it's very similar size. They're a bit more oval than a kiwi. I think a kiwi is a bit more round.
Yeah.
Feijoas are ovalish. It's hard to describe. And look, I need to admit something, because I came back from New Zealand a little while ago now. I bought you back some Fijoa chocolate and stuff, because I was like, I can't bring the fruit back.
Don't say it. You ate it all?
I ate it all.
David, this is a serious... Okay. Wow. I don't know what to say.
Discipline problems.
This is a serious issue. This is now the third time you've attempted to like gift things.
Yeah. And there's a donut issue a while ago. Look, all I can say is I love Fijoas. And sometimes if I'm at my house and I get a bit sad or something or a bit down, I just want to eat chocolate. And it was for your chocolate was there. So I don't have it all. I ate it all.
I'm not sure if it exists. I am like the FDA. I'm just not sure it exists until I see it.
I have that on good authority. That sounds like that's made up. I have on good authority from someone that talked to the FDA that that's exactly the reason that this Fijoa vodka didn't get in. Because literally 42 below, every other flavor they imported, Fijoa, which is their most popular flavor in New Zealand, they couldn't get in.
Wow.
So you've never heard of this, the pineapple guava? Okay, so that's the thing. You can get them here, apparently.
Okay.
I will, look, Monica. Okay. I will find you a pineapple guava, aka Fijoa, in the future, and I will bring you some, and you can try Fijoa. Yeah, look at pineapple guava and just see if you've seen them at a farmer's market, because we are in California, and this is where
some of
them do grow.
Oh, wow. It kind of looks like a lime.
Yeah, fair.
Okay. Oh, it has like a little hat.
It's got a little hat. It does have a little hat. Yeah, that's where it attaches on to the tree.
Or it looks a little bit like an interesting shape cucumber.
It's like wild takes. This is why it never took off in America, because people walk by these fruit and they're like, that's a little tiny cucumber. I don't feel like a cucumber that's tiny. I'll just get an ordinary cucumber. Are you eating fruit? Because my favorite fruit, the passion fruit and the kiwi fruit.
I am not a big fruit person. It's definitely lacking from my diet.
You're more a veggie gal.
Yeah, I would say more a veggie gal. If I'm at the grocery store, 1 out of 5 times I buy fruit.
1 out of 5? Well, I'm a 10 lemon, out of 10.
Lemon and lime and stuff. I don't count that because I'm mainly like cooking with those things.
So you're not getting big, because one thing I love about California is all these punnets of fruit everywhere. There's strawberries and there's blackberries and then there's apples and pears and all the, and watermelon, chopping into a big watermelon, pineapple.
I like pineapple. I like watermelon. I don't love apples.
Okay.
If they're in a salad cut up, I like that. But I never enjoy just biting straight into an apple. It hurts my teeth.
Did you have a bad experience with an apple as a child? Like one that was a bit too flowery or something, like a bit too tart or something?
No, it just doesn't feel fun to eat. Doesn't feel pleasurable for me to eat. If I'm buying fruit at the grocery store, it's either likely a banana or blueberries. Blueberries is my go-to.
Those are great choices, and combine those into a smoothie and you've got a delicious smoothie.
I know, but then you have to clean the blender and stuff. I think that fruit feel complicated. You always have to do something. You have to wash the berries. I need them to be as easy as an almond where you just eat it so fast, but you can't. You have to wash the berries. You have to like cut up the apple. You have to peel the orange, peel the banana. The banana has fruit flies. I mean,
the fruit flies do come for the banana.
Yes.
So extremely fast. Quickly. Where are they? I'm in an apartment. There's no bugs. I pop a banana out.
I know.
Have they hitched a ride on the fucking banana? It's fucked.
I do wonder about fruit flies. Like, are they born in the banana? Like, why?
Yeah, and if there's not a banana around, you don't see them. I never see a fruit fly just sitting on a wall or just relaxing. I don't know what the fuck. Where are they?
I don't know.
Are they in the house behind a book or something waiting until, what's that, banana? There's going to be 500 of us in your kitchen when you wake up tomorrow.
No, I don't know where they... We need to look at where they come from.
Yeah, we do, because it's crazy, right?
I have a bad feeling they, like, emerge from the banana.
Oh, they're hitching a ride. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right?
Because they do not exist otherwise.
And the banana hits a certain level of ripeness, usually overripe. The thing about the fruit fly, they move so slowly. It's like they're lazy, and I'd rather have a fast-moving insect.
Yeah.
The slow-moving, lazy thing, horrible. You know, we agree on this.
My other question was
about washing fruit.
Oh, okay.
You do need to wash fruit here, right? Because they'll be sprayed with various things.
Exactly.
Okay, same in New Zealand. Yeah, you always wash. Sometimes, though, I'm so hungry for fruit, I don't wash and I just chew them back.
And then you get rabies.
And then you get your rabies shots. I don't feel great. Okay, so are you intrigued by the Fijoa so far?
It sounds good. Okay, I really like, you said it in the doc, nuances of strawberries, pineapples, kiwis, apples, and mint. That's a lot of flavor. Yet it's also called the guava.
Yeah, the pineapple guava is the American name.
Guava is a specific taste. Yeah,
I wouldn't liken it to a guava. I mean, for me, the kiwi fruit is just so part of being a New Zealander. They're seasonal, so they're not all year round. But a certain time of the year, they are just everywhere. They're falling from the sky off these trees.
Yeah.
And you just...
Wait, kiwis. Are you calling this the kiwi fruit?
No, did I call it kiwi just then?
Yeah.
Oh, I meant Fijoas.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Because earlier when you said the kiwi fruit is your favorite, you meant a kiwi fruit.
I meant a kiwi fruit.
Okay. Not a Fijoa.
No, we don't call them. So in New Zealand, we call them kiwi fruit. We don't call them kiwis.
Right, because it's confusing.
Because we have kiwi, we have a people and a bird.
Oh, God.
So yeah, we have to say kiwi fruit.
Right.
Just so it's clear that what we're eating. Yeah, Fijoas are falling from the sky all the time.
So are Fijoas, how do they rank in your fave? What are your top 10 favorite fruits?
I'd say they're tied with the passion fruit. And then I go on through all the berries. Like I love blueberries. I love boysenberries. I love blackberries.
Yeah.
And then I'll get into pineapple, melons, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. The melons, not for me. Cantaloupe, no thanks. Honeydew, no thanks.
What's honey? I haven't had honeydew.
Oh, it's...
Is that a type of melon?
It's a type of melon. Okay. It's like greenish, I think. It tastes just fine. Mm-hmm. Cantaloupe, not for me. Do you know about the cantaloupe?
No, I'm nodding like I do, but I'm like, what is it?
I wonder if you'd like the cantaloupe. Okay.
Like antelope.
Yeah, cantaloupe. It sure does. It is with a C.
Cantaloupe. Oh, yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah.
I've never...
You've
chopped
never had
into one.
One. Yeah.
No.
But see, they require chopping. And like the mango, you have to... I love a mango, but you have to... ding, 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 India. They have lots of mangoes there. But yeah, you have so to many. Like cut it. It's hard to cut.
Yeah. Some of the prep is hard. I mean, pineapples are very intimidating to chop them up.
Exactly.
Yeah, the stuff like that.
And then the strawberries have little hats that you have to then throw away. Oh, God. Does that Fijoa hat have to be thrown away?
Okay, so you can eat a Fijoa in a variety of ways. You can chop it in half with a knife, and then you just get a spoon and you spoon out the contents.
So you can't eat the exterior?
Some people do. So the other way of eating it is you can eat the exterior. I would never in a million years eat the exterior.
Oh, really?
Some people do, and it's such a tart skin. It's not for me. What I do, though, I will bite through it to have, instead of getting a knife to chop it, I'll chop it with my mouth.
Okay.
And then I'll suck out the insides and get my tongue in there. You just clean it out with your tongue. Oh, it's the best.
Wow. Okay. I'm intrigued.
Okay. Are you ready to learn some more about the Fijoa?
About the fake fruit.
We're not done. Okay. Yeah. Onwards.
Okay.
So they're native to Uruguay and the three southernmost states of Brazil and a little tiny corner of Argentina.
I thought that maybe the Fijoa was a New Zealand thing. But of course, as Kate explained, other places had the fruit before us.
I later discovered that Colombians are obsessed with it, even though it's not native to Colombia. Colombians from the Andes. And people from Georgia, the country of Georgia, not the state of Georgia, and Azerbaijan really love them.
I've been thinking more about why Fijoas, this wonderful fruit, hadn't taken off in America. And I remembered something else Kate had told me. We were talking about the distinctive smell of the fruit. It's a good smell. And maybe a smell I'd smelt somewhere else too?
So the main component of the Fijoa smell is a compound called methyl benzoate, which is really mostly only found in such concentration in Fijoas. And apparently also when cocaine meets air in certain circumstances, like humid circumstances, it can combine to form methyl benzoate. So airport sniffer dogs have been trained to recognise that smell to detect the presence of cocaine. So maybe don't bring heaps of Fijoas back in your luggage when you're getting back into LA airport.
Maybe that's the real reason the Fijoa vodka never got FDA approval. They thought it was just full of cocaine. I was going to bring some Fijoas back for Monica and Rob, but this has me running scared. I'm getting a fresh visa, and I don't really want to get into an argument with customs about why my bag stinks of coke. While researching the Fijoa, I joined a few Facebook groups, one simply called Fijoa, and had 111,000 followers. Most of them seemed to be from New Zealand. I also joined a page called the Fijoa Appreciation Group, and this had a more international flavor. There I stumbled on Rebecca, a rare American who loves the Fijoa as much as me. She told me she lives in San Jose and has a blog called The Wonderful Fijoa.
I live in San Jose, California, which is in Silicon Valley. But before it was Silicon Valley, it was known as the Valley of Heart's Delight, the Santa Clara Valley, a major fruit growing region historically since the 19th century. So a lot of people have fruit trees. And my boyfriend and I moved into a house in San Jose about 15 years ago, and it had this big old tree in the back that we didn't pay much attention to. And then around September, October, it started dropping all these interesting green fruit. I actually did Google image search green fruits, and then I saw the fruit and I said, oh, that's the fruit.
Rebecca had discovered the Fijoa, and she and her husband, they've never looked back.
We were like, can we eat these? Are they toxic? And started eating some of them. And it was like, wow, these are really good.
I really recommend reading Rebecca's blog, fijoarecipes.wordpress.com. She's got a load of recipes there and a really comprehensive history of the fruit's rise and fall in California.
When the Fijoa was first introduced in California in the early 1900s, it was promoted as the next avocado, according to one article I found from 1915. And it was planted widely, and then people gave up because the fruit just didn't do as well. And I think the reason is the climate in California is not conducive to really great Fijoas in a lot of areas. It's too hot and too dry. So the tree was planted with a lot of excitement. And then the farmers just found it wasn't selling that well. So they didn't continue.
Look, I live in hope that one day the Fijoa will take off in America and that I won't have to come all the way back to New Zealand to eat it. Rebecca hopes for the sunnier future too.
Okay, you've got to pitch the Fijoa to an American that's never had one before. They're like, I don't need a new fruit. I've got all the fruit I need in my life. What's your pitch to sell the Fijoa to someone's heart and soul?
This is a really good, really special fruit, like no other fruit you've tasted. Give it a try. You'll like it. I'd never met a person who didn't like it after they tried it.
She's pretty much right, except she hasn't met my dad, Alistair Farrier. And as this episode wraps up, and in the pursuit of journalistic integrity, I have to add that not everyone here likes the Fijoa. My dad, well, I think he hates them, which he explains to me in his typically reserved New Zealand way.
No, I don't have... No, David, no. Fijoas are not... They're all right. They're all right in their time. But
I love Fijoas. They're one of my favourite fruits. You can't get them in America.
Well, that's unfortunate. You've got plenty of other fruits you can eat, though.
If you don't like Fijoas, what's your favourite fruit?
Tamarillos? Yeah, tamarillos. Very nice. Yeah. Mm.
What is it that you don't like about the Fijoa?
Unusual flavour. All right if you're desperate. Yeah.
Alistair.
That was incredible. Oh, I love when your parents join us for this show.
Yeah, they get so visibly uncomfortable if ever I bring a recording device out.
I'm sure.
And just, yeah, very, very reserved. You can force things out of them. And that was my dad just being, oh, he hates Fijoa so much.
It was such a dad vibe. Dads are so dad-like. They have such a fingerprint. I don't know. But
time, they age like a fine wine or something.
They age in the exact same way, apparently, every single one. Okay, but the way he spoke about it being fine if you have to is how I feel about apples.
Right. You're like, nah. It's like, I don't hate them, but it's like, oh, there's nothing else.
If my blood sugar is plummeting, I don't hate it. I just never want it.
You're stuck on an island. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, so I guess I have an apple today. It's like, oh, there's nothing. I have better options.
Yeah, that's how I feel. But while I was listening to that, it did remind me that though I don't love fruit or I don't buy it, I love a fruit pie.
I'll pop it in a pie.
That's yes. American. Pop it in a pie.
Pop it in a pie.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah, because when she said, made the distinction, it was Georgia the country, not Georgia the state. That was obvious to me because I would have known about it if it was Georgia the state. But Georgia the state is known for peaches, Peach State. And I do love, and at first I was like, oh, I don't like peaches, but
peach
I do
pie?
In a pie. I love a peach pie.
I've never had a peach pie.
I can make you a peach pie.
That you do a good peach pie?
I can make a peach galette. It's a free form pie.
I... With such authority. No, this is good because I want to do another episode about America's fruit pie obsession.
Oh, you think that's American?
Yeah, we've got House of Pies near us.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at all the fruit pies they have here. And things like key, we've talked about this in like the Florida episode, key lime pie.
Yes, love it.
Pecan pies.
Well, that's a nut pie, but yeah. Wait, what kind of pies do you have?
We have meat pies. You know, they just put meat in them. We put cow in our pies and some cheese and steaks and stuff. And that's our pie. So if you say in New Zealand, can we go and get a pie? No one would think fruit. You think meat.
And you would not, you'd think savory always.
Every time.
Wow.
So that's a cultural thing that I want to get into. And I want to know that why all these different states have these different pies that they're proud of.
Okay, this
like
is great.
Peach. I had no idea that your thing was peach pies in Georgia. I had no idea. And I'd love to know why. Oh, obviously, you got a lot of peaches.
So good. Yeah.
But where do you get the best peach pie? Where do I get the best pecan? I know it's not fruit, but you love your pies.
Pecan is also very southern. Southern delicacy pie.
Yeah, okay.
I've never tried to make that one. I don't know. I could try, but I'm going to probably just contribute a peach
galette. Can you make one of every type of American pie and we can just sample them? There'd be hundreds of them. Feijoa pie. Imagine
Do you think
that.
There's such a thing? Should I look it up?
Just see if there's a Feijoa pie.
Okay. It's hard to spell.
F-E-I-J-O-A for anyone listening along.
Feijoa pie.
Mini Feijoa apple pies.
It's all Feijoa and apple.
Yeah, why is everyone popping your nightmare fruit into the apple? Monica's like, ugh!
Actually, I love an apple pie so much.
You
say
pop it in a pie. Yeah, so I think what you need the savory with the fruit, and that makes you give
no,
it
No, it's
the
not
okay.
savory, it's sweet. You it's know, our sweet. Fruit pies are sweet.
Even the
it's a dessert.
Of course, even the pastry is a bit sweet, isn't it?
Yeah, it has sugar. It's, yeah.
I've noticed that with your bread in America as well. It's always a bit sweet.
Really?
There's it tastes a little bit sweeter than New Zealand bread, I've noticed. I think there's a little bit of extra sugar in.
Oh, my God.
Maybe bread's another thing. Oh
we love
God.
Sugar here.
Which is good because I love sugar. I hear it's not great. It's not great for you, but yeah, I do really love it.
It's good. Feijoas. This is fun. I
so yeah,
this.
I don't wanted to educate you about the Feijoa. Anyone out there listening in America, look for the pineapple guava. That's what I'm talking about. See if you like it. It's funny you raised this earlier, the fact that they're being marketed like an avocado. I could say they're worlds apart. I think all they're saying is maybe someone that would buy an avocado might also be tempted to get the Feijoa because they want something.
It's like a character assessment. Like,
no, like maybe. Like
cool millennial types.
Yeah, maybe. There's an alternate reality where everyone in LA, the hipsters are all eating Feijoas instead of their avocado toast. They couldn't be further apart.
Okay.
But get one. The way it is like an avocado is you want to feel it and it wants to be soft but not too soft. Because you don't, there's nothing worse than an overripe Feijoa. It can be like the banana. It can be the fruit fly. If there's fruit flies buzzing around it,
oh,
put it back.
It does sound like it would really attract some fruit flies.
Yeah.
But can it be underripe? Can it be like the avocado where it's like you can't even bite into it?
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's just very tart.
Okay.
So I wouldn't rush into it. You want one that's just at the perfect level of ripe. And that's why it never took off in America because I think they just go off so quickly. You've got like a window.
Oh.
Once it's off the tree, you've got this window where it's this perfect food. Either side of it, no go.
Okay, well, maybe I'll go to the Hollywood Farmers Market. That's a very good farmers market on Sundays.
Yeah, okay, you should.
That would be the place if it's going to be here in this country.
This year we're going to find one.
Yeah, I want to find one.
You're going to consume
one.
It and you're going to tell me where it sits when you compare it to the apple. And I hope you like it more than a fucking apple.
If I
you
don't,
fucking hate apples.
It'll not go well
All
for
right.
you. This
well,
was very fun.
I would say you have become more Kiwi.
Have I?
You know, you never knew about the Feijoa.
Actually, you're right.
And now you do. And if you're in New Zealand, you'd be like, where can I get a Feijoa? Yum, yum.
You're right. And they'll be like, oh, you know about that?
You'll be like, oh, they'll welcome you with open arms. I have become slightly more American because I learned about your love of the fruit pie.
Okay, if we do a fruit pie episode, I have two friends, Lizzie and Joe. Incredible friends. We as a team, as a trio, love pie.
Okay.
And they did pie for their dessert, for their like wedding cake.
And oh, wow. That's how much they love it.
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk to them.
Well, they did a pie tasting. They got little pies from all over the city, and I went to help with the tasting, so I got to try all the pies.
Oh, that, to find out what they're going to have for the wedding.
Yes.
That's such a good gig.
It was so fun.
Well, maybe we round up them. Or maybe we just go to a house of pies or something like that.
Yeah.
And just get like a bunch of slices.
Yeah. And, do
and
some
we
taste.
Just try them all.
Yeah.
Let's okay, do this it. Is good.
Okay.
All right. Happy
Happy
America.
Feijoa
happy
Feijoa.
Happy America. Happy Flightless Bird. All right.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.